Eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being able to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us hearts that love you. Thank you for changing our hearts and giving us a desire to come to church this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I do pray for Brother Noah here this morning as he preaches your word. I pray that you would give him a sense of calmness and courage, Lord, to give the word that you have laid upon his heart. And also help our ears to be open, Lord. And also we pray against the devil and all its forces of evil that wants to steal and snatch the seed away that wants to land upon our hearts. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Good to see everyone here. It's good to be here. I want to thank each of you brothers for sharing. It was a blessing. Thinking of a little bit along the lines of what I was wanting to share was being a watchman. I was reading the scriptures there in Ezekiel, in Isaiah actually it was. And I was just thinking of Brother James shared this morning about the bird that watched over its young. And then I was just reminded how important it is to be a watchman. And also, for us to be watchmen, we have to have a right perspective of our identity. Our identity has to be in Christ. If it's in anything else, we can't be true watchmen. And I was thinking as well, as far as watchmen, as what Junior was sharing about, they went to battle singing. We face a lot of battles. But I just want to encourage us, each one as watchmen, let's go singing. The victory's ours. Let's just not give up. So this morning, as I speak of watchmen, I know in this context, it's speaking of shepherds of the church. However, I want to change that just a little bit. And each one of us, as the heads of our home, are called to be watchmen. We all have a flock to watch over. Each one of us are. So as I share today, those of us that are ministers, or just simply dads, I said that wrong. I meant that in the aspect of the scriptures speaking of, it's addressing ministers, but in your high calling as dads, because it's not just simply dads. Because we as ministers aren't called to direct your home. We're not called to your everyday life affairs. You have a high calling as a dad. And you as wives have a high calling to support and walk alongside, to strengthen that man that's to lead out. And also for each one of us, I want to encourage us to be watchmen over our own personal soul, our own personal walk with Christ, to be watchmen. But as we go through this life, many battles to face, I just want to encourage us to go through this life facing those battles with a song. I've actually come to a place that's been a joy to me, as I was thinking what Junior was sharing about thanking God for the victory. These people didn't physically have that victory yet, but it was as if they just all turned around, went to their tents, said, "Thank you, Lord, for the victory." They went to battle, but they were singing and thanking God for his deliverance. You know, I thank God that I can come here on a Sunday morning to worship him, and I thank him for what he's going to share with us before we ever get here. Because he's faithful to give us a word. So for each brother sharing, I thank God for what they already gave. thank you, brothers, as well. And, you know, if we struggle with not having a right perspective of having our identity in Christ and it's in something else, we're going to struggle being watchmen in our homes. It's not going to come out right. We're going to be lopsided somewhere. we're just going to find ourselves wavering a lot. But if our identity is Christ, and that is our focus, we can thank God, we can come to Him with singing because the victory's won. We just need to be faithful, keep pressing on, keep going. He didn't tell the Israelites, all right, go back to your tents now, the battle's over, I won it, as they was thanking Him. They still went, they still were faithful and went, but they praised Him for something they didn't physically have yet. The psalmist David, you read some of his prayers. Oh, Lord, I'm in deep trouble. I need help. Everybody's trying to kill me. Oh, it's just terrible. And at the end of the prayer, thank you, Lord, for the deliverance. Thank you for casting down the wicked. Thank you for this. And what changed? Did his circumstances change? They didn't. He's still in prayer. You see, God wants us to have that heart. He wants to face our battles with singing, with giving Him thanks, with knowing that He has our best interest in mind for His glory. So my encouragement for us today is that we lift up our feeble hands, that our knees be strengthened, and that we don't quit in watching. And so as we look at these few scriptures here, I want us to consider them as each one of us being watchmen over our own personal lives, you as parents, over your families, and as us in the ministry, even more. And so, as we read those scriptures, keep that in mind. Also, I do want to be a little practical in areas of being a watchman. So I'm going to be a little practical, and it's not going to be all inclusive. There's a lot can be added to it. And just some areas I was thinking about. And the title of the message, I thought about titling it, Trouble in the Toy Box. Trouble in the Toy Box. And you know how toy boxes, they cause a lot of trouble. If you have one toy and two people want it, it's a lot of trouble. And I also want to say this as a disclaimer up front. I don't have anybody particular in mind when I share these things. So don't, if the Lord pricks your heart, don't take it as me as stepping on your toe, because I really don't know. However, I do know that when there's trouble in the toy box, it does become evident as they get older. So let's just read a few of these scriptures here on being a watchman. I'm going to start with Ezekiel 33. Excuse me. I'll read Ezekiel 33, just a few of the verses. And this is just to give us a burden for the weight, I guess, of being a watchman. inspire us, to stir in us the responsibility. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people. And I want us to consider that as dads, and I want us to consider about blowing the trumpet and warning the people. That's our flock. That's our family. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his own soul. But if a watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away from his iniquity. He is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. I'm going to read up to verse 9. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And I just want to read that there just to help us to get the burden of the responsibility of being a watchman. Because if we don't sound that trumpet, then blood is required from our hands. Chapter 34, I'm going to read maybe the first 10 verses here. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thank you. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, and they may not be meat for them. Excuse me. And here, just a few thoughts here. As we refuse to be watchmen, actually, let me read Isaiah 56. There's three verses there that I'm going to read, verse 9 through 11. Well, I'll read 12 as well. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts of the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are all greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. And as we consider the responsibility of being a watchman, the calling is high. The direction of our families is directly hinged on our watching. We can, as families, we can avoid a lot of pitfalls, a lot of heartaches, if we as dads are alert and awake. And but if we're so busy about our own lives, we'll find that our families are going to suffer. We can't just expect our homes to go the right way without some direction. And also, I was going to say that in this portion of scriptures here, that if you continue to read on, God actually offers forgiveness for the shepherds and the people that have gone the wrong way. And so, just as a word of encouragement, you know, the watchmen there in Isaiah, they were blind, they were ignorant, they were dumb, they were sleeping, they loved to slumber, they were greedy, they never had enough, and they were without understanding, and it seems the biggest thing was they were looking out for me, my own gain. That was their number one push. Excuse me. But as you see here, when that is our number one goal, we can see here that the flock became a prey. You know, if our self is our number one goal, our flock becomes our flock becomes prey. It becomes easy picking for the enemy. excuse me. I was thinking of being a watchman. You know, every ship, especially in days of old, I don't think they have it anymore because of all the electronics, but used to have, I think it was called a crow's nest. And that's where the watchman would sit up in one of those high masts. And he'd be sitting up there watching, keeping an eye out for anything coming. And he would call out if he saw something. If he saw whether it was islands, shallow water, icebergs, whatever, he would call out so there would be a warning given. And in the same way, we're called to be watchmen as leaders in whatever level. We're called to be watchmen. We're called to be looking at what's coming in to our homes, what's coming into our flocks. Where is it going to go? Let's evaluate this thing. Is it a new thing? Is it something that we've seen in the past? Or what is this thing? Let's look at it and say, in 5 years, where did this thing go if it's something coming up in a different form? Where did it go last time? In 10 years, where is it going to be? We need to be watchmen. We need to be looking far out at things coming. And we watch and look in faith. And then we should be also, that watchman couldn't control that ship. He couldn't control it. But he called out to the captain. And the captain could control that ship. He could tell it where to go. And as we are watching, let's be calling out to the captain. Because he'll help us turn that ship. We can get it on correct course before we crash. Thinking of sometimes we as watchmen, we can be a little bit proud. And we don't want to really, something comes maybe into our homes. And we don't want to be honest and really say that's what that is. Or maybe a brother comes alongside or sister and says, you know, when we did that, it really didn't work out well for us. And just give us a kind warning that you might want to consider it just in case it goes the same way for you. Just a kind warning. And sometimes we kind of rise up and say, yeah, but, you know, that bothers us. Well, that's pride. But I was thinking with that, just come to my mind here of an account where, if I remember the story correctly, it was a Navy ship that, it was a big one, and he was on a course. And he called out, he saw another ship, and he called out to it, or actually, did he call out? No, there's another one, watchman called back and said, you know, you need to turn course this many degrees or you're going to hit us. And he, you know, in his arrogance, he says, I'm so-and-so, the captain of this ship. We're not turning. You turn. Because of his authority and who he thought he was, he wasn't going to take that. And the reply come, turn certain degrees, you're going to hit. And he responded again, very frustrated, because he wasn't going to be the one going off course. And finally, the voice comes back and says, we're a lighthouse, turn course or you're going to crash. He did turn, but that's humiliating. You know, but if we don't have pride in our heart and someone speaks into our lives, the Lord shows us something, Let's not be so proud that we can't just consider, maybe there is something there. The Titanic, you know, they went through life and they were invincible. God himself can't sink this ship. It ain't going to happen. We all know it happened. And to the demise of many, many souls. Let's not be too proud to acknowledge what we see and address it. Otherwise, our flock will become prey. It'll become meat to every evil beast of the field because there's no shepherd. And not just, I don't want us just to come away with the heart of, I need to give direction, I need to do this. Yeah, those things are all necessary. However, to have a heart of a shepherd. You know, it tells us here that there was no shepherd. Neither did the shepherds go search for the flock. When the flock was hurting, it was astray. Neither did it go search for it to try to help it. And so, maybe some areas in our lives that cause us to be sleeping, to be blind, to be ignorant. Maybe some of those areas are simply the busyness of our lives. I was thinking of, I wanted to be practical here, but to me that's one of the very number one practical points is our work life. We live in a society where you can make money here in this community, and you can make a lot of it. You can work hard, and you can fill your pockets. But, you know, as we identify with Christ, contentment becomes priority. It does. Contentment becomes priority. Because if our work is our priority, we lose our personal walk with the Lord. We lose a vision for a godly family. We lose that connection with Christ. And we just really lose. There's nothing to win there. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. It's hard to walk in the ways of the Lord consumed with work and the cares of this life. We need to give those things up to the will of God. It's important to consider that in our own lives as we as dads go through life. Maybe you as mothers, I don't know what your best thing to do is, if it's to talk on the phone with another sister and gather as much information as you can and share as much as you have. I don't know if it's that or not. But if it is, your home's going to struggle. Gossip is sin. It won't prosper. God doesn't bless it. Maybe that's, if that's a weak point in your life, consider doing something about it. It's hard to inspire our children when we sit around and make them work. There's times where, yeah, dad takes a break from a long, hard week and there's some chores they can do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the everyday task. And I'm too busy. I got Terry. I got to tell Terry something. I got breakfast with Terry. I got to do this now. And my boys are slaving away all day and I don't do anything. You follow what I'm saying? That don't work. Those are areas that create much difficulty. But as I was thinking of trouble in the toy box, many things happen in that toy box. But we need to be watchmen. We need to be considering what is in our toy box. What are the things our children play with? I was thinking of, I've often heard the term, they're just playing, you know. They're just having fun. They'll grow out of that. Maybe. But you know, our children... forget one brother shared it in the way of our children, really, their play is just practice for when they get older. That's really all that is. So, just thinking of, and I'm not against play at all, You all know that. I actually support a healthy balance of playing with their children and letting them play. One thing that's difficult is I was on a construction crew before years ago, and a young man, because there was at one point in time, there was some families were against their children playing any sports of any sorts. And I was on the construction site, and you know, when you drop a hammer and you're up on the two-story walls or somewhere up there, that's a long way to go down and get your hammer. And you always got a ground man on the crew. And it was interesting that this young man was to throw the hammer up, not run it up. We don't do that in job sites. Probably if OSHA was there, you would, but, I mean, common sense, typically you don't. And you can throw a hammer, and you can kind of choose how many flips you want the thing to do. You really can. You can make it go there with none, or you can maybe do it one or two, and it'll land in the guy's hand. You aim for his nose, usually, and he catches it. But this young man, he tried to throw his hammer up. And for safety's sake, you just didn't want to be on the other end, because this thing went every which way, and the first several tries didn't even come close to the guy. But did you know, by helping your children play some ball, just whether it's playing catch, kickball, basketball, just some practical, you can just keep it in the family if you don't want to go any further. But did you know that's actually healthy? It's a hand-eye coordination. You know, if you want to get good at a handgun, some of you guys like shooting guns, the best way to get good at it, from my understanding, is you take a stone and you just throw it at the mark. Because you pull the gun out and you just go like that and pull the trigger. That's how that works. It's the hand-eye coordination that comes together. I'm not an expert at it. I'm just sharing that. However, playing is an important part of a child's life. And you know, you all know, as children get older, it's responsibilities come along. But as I was thinking of, they're just playing. What's it going to hurt them? They're just playing. So we do cops and robbers. We're just playing. Boom, you're dead. And you fall over. I grew up playing that, by the way. That wasn't new to me. We grew up playing cowboys and Indians and whatever else have you. And there was always somebody dying, and somebody was the murderer, or somebody was an officer. We're allowing our children to practice things in life as they become older. It's not healthy. Did you know? Terry actually quoted all those, I think, in his prayer. We are to teach and train our children, right? The scripture is full of that commandment. And so we're letting our children play. And they're playing violent games, okay? Games that represent killing, war, whatever. Is it acceptable? Oh, they're just children that grow out of that. And so I'm supposed to teach my children the Word of God. When I rise up, when I sit down, when I walk along the way, when I lie down, when I get up, all those times, teach your children the ways of the Lord. Is there room for that kind of behavior in that teaching? In meekness. Boom, brother. In temperance. There is no such law. Love. Peace. Boom. Long suffering. You follow what I'm saying? That's not the spirit of the living God. It don't fit in the fruit of the Spirit. We teach our children to be kind, to be loving. It's pretty rough with a gun in hand. And I understand they're playing, okay? That's something we've never allowed our children to do. It was unacceptable. And somewhere my little guy picked that up. And so for a little while, he's been going around shooting people. He always pays the price of when the cops show up. But he's learning. That's just one aspect. And I always remember Brother Abner. Some of you would know him. He passed away now. But he just said, you know, I just find it interesting. He was talking about the toy box in his own home growing up. He said, you know, in our toy box were lots of tractors, lots of things to drive. And I tell you what, he named his dad off, Mr. Kaufman. He said, all his boys knew those sounds too. When we got down on our hands and knees playing that tractor, whoa, they roared. But his point was, is they were all Amish. He says, I'm not saying it's actually this way. He said, it just always made me wonder. Now, my uncle's boys were never allowed to play with tractors, anything that would make a sound like that. They just looked at us like we were wild creatures when we ripped around with our tractors. But they would play the horse, that type of thing. And he told me, this was years before he passed away, he said, all of my siblings except one have left the Amish. And all of my uncle's children, they're all still Amish. And he says, I'm convinced that what you let your children play has a big effect on them. And I'm just going to let you with that. And I absolutely agree with that. Whether they're going to go to that extreme or not, I don't know. However, I think it's very, very important to consider. It's also important, you know, as we consider playing, some games are fitting and some are just simply not. Children pretending. Another thing that we've never allowed was fighting, to where our boys could just hammer each other all they wanted. I really have a hard time finding that in the fruit of the Spirit. I do. Beat him with a good round of meekness. Get him, Terry. That don't even make sense. It absolutely seems so far out. But fighting, when we let our children fight, then we are allowing them to build this thing within themselves that I need the upper hand. I am not bowing down. And you follow what I'm saying? It builds something within them. Wrestling? Me and the boys, we'll wrestle. We'll tussle. But I'm pretty much at the last end of that one, though, with one of them. I told him my last one, I think I'm done. I think you can have some fun doing that. But when it starts to be wrestling matches with everybody else, I think you're going to run into trouble. I think you are. Children are always pretending. And just keep in mind, some pretense is just not good. It's not healthy. Some pretense is just not healthy. You know, playing, it's a good, healthy thing of learning how to play fair. We should be observant enough as parents when our children are playing. We should be observant enough to see how they're playing, if they're playing fair, if they're sore losers, if they have a way of manipulating the game and getting their way. We had some of this discussion the other night at brothers' meeting, just in speaking with dads. Those things are important to be observing as watchmen. You know, maybe they have a bad attitude and you don't correct it. You know, when they get older, the bad attitude only grows with them if you don't correct that, if you don't help them to overcome that thing. And just an account of, I did share it at the brothers' meeting, I think, where the one young man, his dad favored him, and he obviously wasn't disciplined for too much. But as they were playing ball, you know, I'm 14, 15 watching this game, and he's with the youth. And all the dads are sitting around this court, and it's only a half court, so everybody's pretty close. And they're playing this game, and this boy gets fouled. And he stops, and just picture this being one of your boys, and because you weren't a watchman, or you were one that was sleeping, one that couldn't bark anymore, couldn't give any direction. He gets fouled, and the game was still going, the play was still going on. He turns around. Daddy fouled me. I mean, he was probably 19 years old. Right in front of all the other dads and the other guys. I mean, you talk about a roar of laughter that came out of there. That was a big roar. But that boy, when he was little, he was not taught how to take a loss. He was not taught how to, you don't need to call every foul. Come on. Just, nobody's meaning ill towards you. Just play the game. You know what I'm saying? he wasn't taught some practical direction. And I know that I remember looking over at that dad, and he could have crawled under the hat he was wearing. If he would have fit, he would have climbed in it. It was pretty humiliating for him. However, you as a watchman, that's not why you're a watchman for. You're a watchman for their benefit. You're not a watchman so you look good when something goes wrong. And you know, also the thought of, I have failures, I struggle in certain areas as well, and maybe I had a bad attitude, and so I don't address my son because he has one. God doesn't call you to be perfect to give direction to your children. He calls you to give direction. But I will say this. If you're a hypocrite and your son knows that, it's pretty tough to take direction. So you're not helping him any. And also, you know, it goes along with the thought of provoking our children. Provoke them is to simply enrage them, to anger them. We don't have to be perfect to give direction. But I'm going to tell you something that will help us as watchmen. Fathers and mothers, you know, I had a bad attitude maybe last week, and I addressed my son, hey, your attitude really stinks. But before I do that, I hope that I can live in transparency. If I didn't already make that right, I should have. But if I didn't, I should at least tell him back here, that was wrong of me. I shouldn't have done that. Live with a transparency. Live with a clear, open heaven. This way, your children can see that. And they know that. My children know that I fail. But I'm not going to sit idly by and let them do the same things and be worse at something than I am. It's not that I promote us failing as fathers. There's victory. But they can see through that. They can see a hypocrite, or they can see one that's being transparent and walking with the Lord. We're not to provoke our children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture is to train them by implicating disciplinary correction. So as we had talked, it's not all those little 10-minute timeouts, but train your children. Help them along. But as you go back into the toy box, that time of play, that's simply they're practicing what they're becoming for when they get older. And we can help them in many, many ways. Also, another aspect in our toy box is electronics. Electronics. I thought about asking for a raise of hands, but I'm not going to, because then I'll know who all does which way and that. But I want to encourage us all. Be careful with your electronic games. Be very careful. A lot of them, they might be cartoon figures. But a lot of them are all about destroying or being destructive of some sort. There's not a lot of building up that you can build in moral character. I remember having a PlayStation 2 set. So we'd plug it into the TV, and this way we could have a big screen and watch, and we could compete with the guy beside us. And it breeds a competitiveness that doesn't do anything for you. Sure, my points are higher than your points, but I can't really take this and go anywhere in life with it. It doesn't do anything. And when I leave this, I'm empty. I just like, now what? Life's boring. That's what a lot of movies and that type of thing will do to you. I remember sitting around watching ball game after ball game, and then the battery would die. And I had to quit. Wait till battery charges. So I can watch another one. But during that point in time, life was empty. It was boring. What am I going to do now? You know, and there was lots of things to do on a farm. There was all kinds of things we could play. But because of that, we had no desire to. Whether that's your electronics, whether that's games on your phone, computer, iPad, tablet, whatever it is, I discourage it highly. Some will say, oh, it helps your mental capabilities. I'll tell you something else that helps. Go out there and play a game of ball with your dad or a couple of your friends. That helps your mental capabilities because your mind is trying to keep your hand above this ball as it's bouncing. And if you need to strengthen it, do it on gravel. That's how we played ball when we was little. That'll strengthen your mental capabilities. You're bouncing. You're over here like this. You don't need to sit in front of here and be a couch potato. Life's pretty boring that way, friends. And also, as watchmen, we don't need to be slumbering and sleeping, be so boring that our children, here, take this and go sit on the couch. You go sit on the other couch. We don't need to be that way either. But our children can respect a time of quietness when we need some rest. Let's be watchmen. Let's be alert. I know of a young boy, strong desire for electronics. I mean, he's always in his game. Comes to practical things. I mean, yeah, he likes to play basketball, and he's the most arrogant guy on the court. But other than that, he's just not got a lot going for him, which I think some of that's been changing in his life. However, movies and games, they breed this unrealistic imagination in our heads. Do I believe there were dinosaurs? There probably was. I mean, there's some big creatures that were before. Do I promote that in my home, my children to play with that? I actually don't, because in my day, that's not reality. That's not something I can relate to. It's not reality. And the only way this boy here could relate to that is because of all the movies. And so I remember being in a store, and he was there, and I was just observing him. Other children were looking at, you know, other domestic animals, while he was looking at dinosaurs. And he was just having a fit about this. And I'm thinking, you're watching something, because you're only just a little chap. You're into something. And he is. But it's approved, however, by his parents. My warning to us is, it breeds something way wrong. He has a hard time interacting and socializing with other people. And he's a very outgoing person otherwise. Moving on, what are some of the things in our toy box? Excuse me. Some of the things we need to be watching for. Real briefly. And so I talked about some games, some guns, some things on the boys' side. And I'd even encourage you as parents to consider even some board games that all they do is represent war. But yeah, we say, no, we'd never go there. But we, in our minds, are programming our children that way. It's not wise. So maybe for some of you, watchmen that allow dials in your home, we've got a few in our house. But I'm going to be specific. If Barbie dolls are part of your toy box, that's trouble. And if you would back up and do some history on the Barbie doll, it's very interesting. It came from Germany, actually. Over in Germany, it was a vulgar cartoon. That's how the Barbie doll came about. Over there, they called it Build Lily Doll. It was a wrist gag gift. It was a gift for men that is vulgar because it refers to sex and has to do with a joke. That don't sound fitting in our toy box, does it? That doesn't sound fitting in our toy box. And so what happened was, that was West Germany where this doll was. So California decided to model something after that, and they called it Barbie. And for years, parents were appalled at this thing. I'm talking society. They were opposed to this thing because it was a doll for grown men. Today, it's interesting, she's in toy boxes. But years ago, men were appalled at that. And I'm talking society. However, the more it was displayed on TV, and the more children caught glimpses of it, parents lowered their guard, and now it's okay. They made it okay back then. But That's where the pressure came in, was as it was displayed more and more on TV. And then we wonder, as shepherds, as watchmen, we wonder why our children grow up with having these desires that are natural, in a sense. But when you let our children grow up with dressing dolls immodestly and so forth and so on, it becomes who we're training ourselves, who we want to be. That's what our children are playing and practicing. Because, you know, if we have that struggle in our homes, don't wonder if you allow that in your life, don't wonder where it all comes from. Because a woman naturally has a desire for men to see their body. Unless Christ comes, and that'll all change. There'll be a carefulness in this area. Even to the point where husbands should be jealous over this area. Why do we want everyone looking at our wife or daughters? So I want to just encourage us, even the dolls, the toys that we play with, that they can be trouble for us in our toy box. Video entertainment brings discontentment. We're no longer happy just to go out and play and do some things, but we got to go out and try to be somebody that we saw on a video. It has no lasting, healthy effect. Books. There are some books that have some very good morals to them. They're worthwhile having around, but there's a whole lot of books that are not. And one thing in our toy box is often you see books. I've had to think of Noah's Ark. So we could try to describe very quickly how Noah's Ark looked. How many windows did it have? At least 5 or 6 or 10 on one side, right? Okay, very good. And how many animals were poking their heads out? There was at least 2 or 3 at each window, right? Yep, that's right. Noah was sitting on the top, reclining probably. His beard was blowing back in the wind as he was just cruising along. Is that portraying the Word of God? Is it? It's not. It's actually false. It's a wrong picture. God said, build this ark this way. Do it this way. And it's going to work for you. That's how it's going to work. Those things seem simple. Sometimes they seem even funny. But you know what? They're more serious. They're doing something to our children's minds. They're putting a false picture in there. It warps their minds. Another thing is books that have animals that are doing all the speaking. We try not to go there. Because the only book that I know that had animals speaking was my Bible. And I was a donkey. And if you read that account, that's embarrassing. Picture you being Balaam having a conversation with a donkey that's telling you, you're going to get killed. But he argued with him. He didn't just say, oh boy. He actually spoke back to the thing. I know birds can talk, but I'm talking about when your elephant's having a conversation with the giraffe and the giraffe is talking to the owner. And those things are false concepts of reality. Let's keep reality to our children. And that's where a lot of your Disney stuff, magical and very unrealistic. Cinderella, Snow White, Mickey Mouse, and the list just goes on. You're going to do your children's minds harm by letting that stuff just float around. Romance books. One woman said, they are nothing other than porn for women. Interesting. But think about it. They're not healthy for us. They're not of the kingdom. You take, you give that to our children and expect purity. That's never going to happen. And you can take every other, all kinds of other books and put them in there. But if they're not wholesome books, I would encourage you, start a burn pile. They burn good. They really do. Just throw them in. And there's a whole lot of books out there that you can get that actually help build character. Help, you know, for those of you that have young men, get them books that they can learn from. And then when they step up to go preach, to share the gospel, to have a children's lesson, they've got a lot of things back here. A lot of things I never had. I mean, I had Western books, so I knew how to shoot people and do all that stuff. But I didn't have that other wholesome book feed, you know? And I don't fault my parents for it. I'm simply saying that was just life. It was okay. It was normal for us. Also, magazines that promote ungodliness in areas that we don't want our children to go. Throw them out. Why make a promotion in the home if you're not going that way and you don't permit it? It just only breeds desires. There's so much good reading material available that we don't let the world fill our children's minds. And if any of you struggle finding good reading material, come see me. I'll help you. I know where a lot of it is. And it's good stuff. Will you be a watchman that blows the trumpet? Will you take serious what's in your toy box? Because it's not your children's fault. It's there. It's yours. You left it in. Will you? Will you blow that trumpet and say, that's got to go? Will you be the one sleeping while the world is training your children? It's fine, son. I'm going to take me a nap. After 5 movies, I want you to stop, though, okay? That'll be enough. And try not to watch that one and this one. They're not too healthy. Is that going to work while the world trains my children? Is that going to work? We want godly young men and women. Ain't going to happen. And you know what, brothers? It's a good conversation to sit down and have with your children. I don't know where you all are at. I don't know who watches movies and who don't. But I know some, not from here, do. And I've been troubled by that. X-rated, violence, romance. I'm thinking, seriously? And you claim that? Seriously? You want to put it over to Hollywood, but it actually fits here. I look right. I'm doing a lot of things right. I have this mixed into this, but this is what you see. But my secret life is this open. You follow what I'm saying? Seriously? In our own homes? I'm just saying, you go do the homework. I don't know of anyone here, but do the homework before you open that floodgate of, yeah, just go ahead, just watch the movies, try not to do any X-rated ones or rated R and all. Seriously? It's never going to bear fruit for the kingdom. How can you feast from the devil's table and grow in the kingdom of God? Can you? That's the wrong food. That's drinking poison. Are you okay with the blood that is required from you by not blowing your trumpet? Are you okay with that? You know, when we don't blow the trumpet, when we don't give clear direction, do you know what we make? We make a gray area. We make a gray area. Probably the reason some of this became a burden to me is because I've heard a conversation, not here, but elsewhere. And I thought, oh my, how can that be? You know something makes gray areas? This is a conversation that I heard. Drinking's not entirely wrong. Just keep it in moderation, you know. One drink won't hurt you. If you have a desire for one drink, when there's water, when there's all kinds of stuff to drink, and you have to go take one drink, you're going to have the desire for two, too. There's no point in it. Tempt not the Lord thy God. Jesus wouldn't even make stones into bread. And he had the power and authority to do it. He wouldn't do it. What makes us think that we can do this? I'm going to tell us. And of a truth, if that's your life, if that's my life, there's going to be a lot of gray areas in my life. There's going to be a lot of gray areas. And there's other things in life that you can put in there in place of that. Watching movies, do this, do that. You allow those things, and you're going to have a lot of gray areas in life. And then you wonder why you just kind of spin in circles. No. Identify here. The world has to go. It can't be part of us. It can't feed us. Not our soul. And all too often, it starts innocently in our toy box. Just a little electronic thing that plays the same little movie over and over. Oh, what's the movie? I don't know. Just kind of some mouse doing this, that. Well, better look again. Because there's a lot of cartoons that are just vile and wicked. And people sit there and laugh at them and laugh at them. Our toy boxes may just simply destroy us. They don't have to. We can be watchmen. We can blow that trumpet. We don't have to be sleeping. We don't have to be ignorant. We don't have to be dumb dogs that can't bark. We don't have to be greedy. You know, some of that comes, we bring some of that on. We get so busy, we get greedy, we just want stuff for us. And some people train their children so they look good. That's greed. That's your own gain. Do it for your children. Do it for the glory of God. And you won't go wrong. God bless you all. I hope that you were encouraged today to be a watchman. Strengthen your knees. Lift up your hands.